Yeah, do you hear? Okay. Yes. Okay, is this better?
Yes.
Okay, good. Right, so, I was just saying that it's that we're going to be soon by our bicycle calibers who's going to line them, and there's no room to sit over there, and so it's better to make the harness a little bit now. Just when we get there, I can say we can learn a little Torah and to sing a niggun. And we have this time now, so let's try a little bit to learn by way of hachana to come to a bicycle. I want to thank, we have a sponsor for this segment of our journey to Kalev by Marvin and Helena Goldstein. Lili Nishmat's Marvin's father, Aya Leib ben Nochem Yecheskel HaLevi, his yardside Schof Bezir, and Helena's father, Mordechai ben Avram Abba, the yardside is Yutes Eir. Helena's father was from Kalev and learned in the yeshiva of the Kalev Rebbe. The reason that it's so important to talk about Rav Isaacle Kalever is we know very little about him, but we do know that the first real Hisgalus revelation of the light of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh in Hungary comes from Rav Isaacle. It comes from Rav Isaacle Kalever. Before we talk about that great tzaddik Rav Isaacle and how the light of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came from there to this country, I want to mention that all that we're learning now and all of our davening now is should be a schuz for the Refuah Shleima of our Rebbe. And I say our Rebbe, who has had such a hashpah on so many of us and myself, and who came to speak in the Beis Medrash the very first time that we were together, that Shabbos, to come as a Shabbos, and has been with us always throughout, and has called and followed our lives for so many years. The Kalever Rebbe in Williamsburg, his old Gazun sign, Reb Moshe ben Reisel, that he should have a Refuah Shleima b'sar shar chol Yisrael. In all of our learning and all of our davening, he knows that we're coming here, and he's very excited, he's very happy that we're coming here. And it means a lot to him that we're mentioning his name in the place of his ancestor. And all of the learning should be a schus for the Rebbe. I want to just say something before I begin to talk about the Rabbi Isaacl, that when the present Kalever Rebbe, when the Rebbe first began to go around to different shuls and different yeshivas, one of the first stops that he made when he began that crusade, Mamasha crusade, must be already now 25 years ago, when he began that, one of the first places was in the school, a yeshiva that I taught in for many years, Ezra Academy. And the Rebbe came there and he spent Mamish full days with just a glass of water talking to Chevra, being Mechazik Chevra. Many, many, many of the students became Shomer Torah Mitzvahs because of the Rebbe. And I was together with Rabbi Feilich, the principal, and we were talking to the Rebbe. Anyway, he was such a beautiful tzur of a Jew. He still is, but his physical form has been so diminished by illness. But I remember back then, he was so tall, and had such a hadras panim, strong. And Rabbi Feilich and I were talking to him. Unfortunately, you know, you become a little bit cynical, and a lot of times that different rabbis and Rosh Yeshivalach and Rabbalach that they come, and there's a certain inyan that if they don't have in their minds, the Gaboim have in mind, which is to collect, to use opportunities to go to meet Jews for the purpose of collecting, which is okay. They need to support their maizdis, and that's fine. But over time, you become a little bit cynical. So, I remember I was standing with Rabbi Feilich, and Rabbi Feilich asked the Kalever Rebbe, says, Rebbe, like, why are you doing this? why are you coming to our school for the day to talk to the kids for the day? He stayed for a week. Why are you coming here to talk to the kids? In other words, like, tell me what's really going on over here. Because the kids don't have money. The school doesn't have money. You know, there are no reporters here. What's the point? And this is what the Kalev Rebbe said. And with this I want to begin our preparations for Kalev. The Kalev Rebbe said, I'm a great-great-grandson of Rabbi Isaacal Kalever. And Rabbi Isaacal Kalever was one of the earlier Talmidei HaBaal Shem. And Rabbi Isaacal Kalever, who, he was a Talmud of the Rebbe Shmuel, we'll talk about that in a second. And Rabbi Isaacal Kalever spent his life traveling, going along the fields and the hillsides, the forests, the villages of where we're going through right now, of Hungary, to go tell the Jews that there's a Bar Olam who loves them, and to remind them that they're Jews, to bring that message of the Holy Baal Shem. That's what my great-great-grandfather, Rabbi Isaacal, did his whole life. And the Rebbe said to us, in my whole life, I'm sitting in Williamsburg, and we have a wonderful Karlel and a Bes Medrash. But I've begun to ask myself, what am I doing? How can I look at myself as being a continuation of that golden chain from Rabbi Isaacal Kalever if I never ever leave my Dalet Amos? And I sit with the Hasidim in our Bes Medrash in Williamsburg, and I don't travel and go on the road like my great-great-grandfather Rabbi Isaacal. So the Rebbe said, I decided that the rest of my life I'm going to go wherever I can as long as Hashem gives me strength. And I'm going to tell Jews wherever I can go that there's a Rebbeinu Shlom who loves them, who wants them to keep mitzvahs, and to try to spread the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh wherever I go. So unfortunately, due to his illness, it's hard for the Rebbe to go out anymore. Although, as of recently, he was. And I consider all the work that we're trying to do as a tiny way of trying to continue along that path. Rabbi Isaacal Kalever, who took from his rebellion and from the present Rebbe, it should be a schus also for the tzaddik, the Kalev Rebbe of Eretz Yisrael, was nifter a short time ago. I was zeichet to meet on a number of occasions as well. I have an amazing story from him. Maybe if there's time, I'll tell you at the end. But let's begin to try on our level to go back in time, to try to, on our level, to make a little bit of his kashus to this very mysterious and less known tzaddik, Rabbi Isaacal Kalever. Now, you know, one of the great rabbis was even more hidden than Rabbi Isaacal Kalever. We were zeicher to have some stories from him about how he went, we talked about yesterday, hunting. He went hunting for neshamas, for the haven in neshamas, for elevated souls. He was known as the Rebbe of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. It's Rabbi Leib Saris, Susi and Elaine. Now, Rabbi Leib Saris was Isaac in the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. And he went from town to town raising money to free Jews who were held for ransom. And along the way, he was seeking these souls of the hidden tzaddikim of the generation. And one time, while he was in the Ukraine, he suddenly had a hargosha that he must travel to Hungary. Because in Hungary, in a tiny little shtetl, there was a very, very great neshama that was waiting to be taken out of prison. He was Isaac and Pidyon Shvuyim and freeing those Jews who were imprisoned. And Rabbi Leib Saris traveled to Hungary to find this great soul that was imprisoned in order to be paid to this neshama from prison. And he had a kfitzes derech. So Leib Saris traveled a certain way, a miraculous way, and he was able to be very shortly in Hungary. And he came to a tiny little village. It's called Sirinj. He came to this little village, and after davening, I pronounced it wrong. Sirinj. Well, yeah, we'll be there also, Yes Hashem. And after davening, he went outside. Reb Leib Saris went for a shpatzir. He went for a walk outside. There were beautiful, beautiful fields and a forest. And he heard a niggun. He heard a song coming from the fields. And he went and he found that there was a young man, 18 years old, wearing torn clothing. And he was a shepherd, not even watching sheep. He was with a flock of geese. And Reb Leib recognized right away that this was the neshama that Hashem Yisbarach had sent him to find. And he began speaking. Reb Leib Saris began speaking to this boy, this shepherd, and who told him about his mother, that he has a mother, an almana, who is very poor, and he tries to help her. Reb Leib Saris went to speak to the almana and explain to the woman that even though it's incomprehensible to her to part with the boy, but that this child has an extremely great and elevated soul, and the whole world has been waiting for him to be revealed. He has much to teach, but first he has to learn a great deal. And he gave the almana money to help her, a considerable amount of money to help her over the years, and promised that she would have great nachas, and that they would be able to be reunited. She would see him from time to time. And she trusted the tzaddik, and the boy went along with Reb Leib Saris. Reb Leib Saris brought Isaacel to the Rebbe of Shmelka from Nikolsburg. So everything's coming together. He brought Isaacel to the Rebbe of Shmelka, and Reb Leib Saris said to the Rebbe of Shmelka, I brought you a neshama gevoya ukedosha mehechel anegina. I brought you a soul that comes from that place in Shemayim that's called Hechel Hanagina, the chamber of music, of song. You know what to do with this neshama. And you alone know what to do with this neshama, what this neshama needs. And Rabbi Isaacel, the boy Isaacel, stayed with the Rebbe of Shmelke for a long time. We were told that the Rebbe of Shmelke gave him smicha. It turns out that Isaacel was a genius, an Eluyisha person. And the Rebbe of Shmelke gave him smicha. And when the Rebbe of Shmelke was asked, what was the smicha? He said that when Isaacel left me, I placed my hands upon his head, and I said the words from the beginning of the Torah, Rashis Bar Lakim is the Shemaim Vesaras, until Vayom Lakim Yihi Ar, let there be light. And then I kissed Isaacel and I sent him out into the world with the words Yihi Ar, let there be light. This shepherd grew into a huge Talmud Chacham. And over those years, he didn't forget the songs that he remembered when he was a boy, when he was a shepherd, and that he learned from the Hungarians, the shepherds in the fields and the forests. And he brought these nigunim into Kedusha. I think Shlomo and Eitan, I think that they learned Salokak Shmar, am I correct?
Yes.
So we'll be able, Mitzvashem, later on to learn the niggun and to sing together. We have the translation from Hungarian into English in the Kunjus. That's one of the nigunim. But there are other nigunim that he brought into Kedusha from the shepherds, from the fields and the forests. And he said, Kol ha-nigunim shabarlam ha-kedusha All the nigunim from the world of kedusha, of holiness, him boy mehechel hanagina. They come from the place that I come from, which is called hechel hanagina, the chamber of music of song. Tuma, he said, ainu yadas nigunei emes. Impurity does not know the side of impurity. Does not know true nigunim. Sherei ainu yadas shum simcha. Because tuma is the opposite of simcha, of joy. Ki mekor ha'atzvus. Because tuma is the mekor of sadness, of atzvus. Al yidei chet adam arishin noflu nitzaitzin l'rishus haklipa. Because of the sin of adam arishin, klipas nitzaitzin of kedusha fell into the klipas. Avoides atzadik hi lahalois oisin hanitzaitzin shel hanagina. And these, and some of the most exalted nitzaitzis of kedusha, are trapped, are imprisoned in the world of nagina, the naginas that somehow made their way into this world, into the mouths of others, not Jews, into the shepherds. And he said to Befrat, "Kol nagine v'shire haroyim." If you want to find these nigunim of Kedusha that are entrapped in Tuma, they're mostly to be found in the songs of the shepherds. And the job of the tzaddik is lahachziram l'kedusha. One of the jobs of the tzaddik is to reveal these nigunim to the world of Kedusha and to bring them back to Kedusha. So that song, Salakak Hashmar, which we're going to talk about and we're going to hear, a song that I remember. The first time that I heard it, I mentioned once in shul, the first time I heard it, it was back around 33, 34 years ago, when the Kalev Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael, Chosi Elino, just was nifter, when the Kalev Rebbe came to Queens, and I was talking with my parents during the week, and I said to my father that the Kalev Rebbe is coming to the neighborhood, and maybe you want to come for Shabbos, for the Shabbos. My father was very excited, and he said, "The Kalev Rebbe is coming. I'm coming. We're coming for Shabbos." My parents came. At that time, we lived in Kew Gardens Hills, and it was Friday night. The Kalev Rebbe had a tish. There were hundreds of people who came. It was downstairs in the Youngersville of Queens Valley by Rav Steinberg, and my father came to the tish. And there were other Hungarian survivors who were there. How do I know? Because when the Kalev Rebbe, Olam Shalom, when he began to sing Salakak Hashmar, all of the Hungarian survivors jumped out of their seats. And they stood mamish like soldiers with their eyes closed. And I've told you before that my father is not one that shows emotion openly.
What?
You hear me?
You're able to hear?
And all of the Hungarian survivors were singing along with the Kalev Rebbe Salakak Hashmar. And they were like in another world, mamish another world. My father told me afterwards, "You don't understand that this was our like national anthem. This had to be raised from the time that we were babies. This is what our mothers sang to us. Whenever there was a simcha, whenever there was a sadness or a joy, an occasion, this is what we lived with, Salakak Hashmar." It's a song about Galus, we'll talk about it, we'll see the translation later on, Yibona HaMikdash. It's enough to say now that when the Heilige Rokshitzer heard this nigun, that the Kalever, Rabbi Isaac Freed from the Goyish Shepherds, that the Rokshitzer said that B'shon Sherav Mikalev Mezamen Nigun Zeh, that when the Kalev Rebbe sings this nigun, Naser Rash Ba'ulim Esalyon, there's such a tumult, there's such a noise in Ba'ulim Esalyon, Umisoira Mekar Harachamim. And the Rabshitzer said that this nigun of Salakak Hashmar is Ma'oira, causes the Hisoiris of the Mekar Harachamim. It goes to the highest place, to the Hechel and the Gina, which is right next to the Hechel of Tshuva. And it opens up all kinds of places of Rachamim and Tshuva. the Ketim, Ketim Shem Malachi Rachmim, and multitudes and groups of Malachi Rachmim, Boim Lekabel Ponim Shreb Leib Soriz, Vehechel Shebemorim. And all these Malachim fly over to where Reb Leib Soriz is by his Hechel and Shemayim, Vehe Meshabchim Oisai, and they praise Reb Leib Soriz and they say, Baruch Shenosata Lonuz HaNefesh HaYikara HaZois. And they say to Reb Leib Soriz, Shkoyach for giving us this precious neshama of Rabbi Isaac Kalevin, who knows how to bring this kind of rachamim to Moir Rachamim from the Makor HaRachamim, to bring Jews to do tshuva by hearing this nigun and other nigunim. The Kalevin Rebbe himself, Rabbi Isaac, said that this nigun, originally, where does it come from? That the original place of this nigun is when Bnei Yisrael left Eretz Yisrael and went into Golas Bavel, and he says, "Al Naharas Bavel Shom Yashavnu V'Gam Bachinu V'Zachreinu Es Siyon." That when we went out into Golas and we were singing by the Naharas Bavel, so Isaac said that this nigun of Salakak Hashmar was a nigun that the Jews of Yerushalayim brought with them from the Beis Hamikdash, because Leviim used to sing by the Avoda, by Shira, that the Nigunim would sing to this Nigun of Solokak Hashmar, and that he had to work very, very hard to bring this Nigun out from the place of the Roim of the Shepherds. It was lost from the time of Golas Bavel, that this is originally a Nigun that was by the Leviim and Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine? By the Leviim and the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where he took it from. Where was this by the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Isaac said that when a Yid would come to bring a carbon, in order to be ma'ira that Yid, that he should do tshuva when he would bring the carbon, so the Leviim would begin to sing this nigun. Not the words that we have, but the nigun, the song, the melody, which is very hard to sing. I mean, Shlomo Eitan, they're unbelievably talented. And Hashem Yisbach should give them siyata d'shmaya. I mean, I heard the Kalavir, we can also, maybe after we hear our Chevra singing it, I know that there's a tape of the Kalavir singing it because my wife has it on her phone. So Mastama, our technicians here could find on the phone the Kalavir Rebbe singing that nigun. When he bought a Mechem L'chaim, the Moshe Kalavir, the Kalavir from Williamsburg, when he was by us for Shabbos, he sang it as well. So this was a nigun that goes back to Beis HaMikdash, to the Ma'ira Jews to do tshuva when they were bringing the karbanos. And Rabbi Isaac freed this nigun, and the Malachim gave shkoyach to Rabbi Soros for freeing Rabbi Isaac Kalavir and bringing him into the world and making him into Rabbi Isaac Kalavir. After he was by the Rebbe Shmelke, or during that time that he was by the Rebbe Shmelke, he also went to the Kedushas Levi, and he was mekusha very deeply to the Kedushas Levi as well. This whole inyan of the avodah of halos niguna, of lifting up niguna from the klipas, I mean, there are many musicians who try to do that now, and they're all very sweet and wonderful people. Some of you have heard the noise at weddings, and some of the miserable attempts on the part of some of these wonderful people to take Goyish music and make it into something that is Jewish. And they're trying very, very hard, but it could be that they don't come from the Hechel and Negina, or not the same neighborhood as Rabbi Isaac Kalavir, because in order to bring a Negin out from Tumah, you have to be a very elevated soul. We'll talk about that by the Tzin. We're going to learn a little bit from Rabbi Nachman. But Rabbi Isaac himself would say, on the Pasuk in Bereishis, when Yaakov Avinu sent the brothers to go back to Yosef at Tzadik, and that's very connected to the Aravoda this week that we're talking about Yosef at Tzadik, and he told the brothers, Kulachem Yizimra Sa'aretz, take from the fruits of the land, the grapes, the fruits of the land. V'heiridu, and take down Li'ish Mincha, bring a gift for the Ish, for the mysterious person who, Yosef at Tzadik, who is hidden, who is disguised as Softas Paneach. And Rabbi Isaac taught that when it says in Pasuk, Chulachem Mizimra Sarish, V'heiridu Li'ish Mincha, this is taught by other tzaddikim also, Majus, this is brought down, other tzaddikim, that Ish is a remez to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in Pasuk, Hashem Ish Milchama. That Hashem is also called Ish, Hashem Ish Milchama. So when it says in Pasuk, Chulachem Mizimras Ha'aretz, it means, fruit Zimras also is a hint to Zmirais, and the meaning is Chumi Zmirais v'nigunim ha'aretz. Take from the Zmiras of the Goyim, Zmirais Chumi Zimras ha'aretz, that there are shepherds, there are simple Goyim who have nigunim that somehow they were able to find these lost nigunim, and they're in the world of Tumah. Va'asu lahem minchil Hashem. So it says in Pasuk, Chulachem mizimras haaretz, v'hayridu le'ish, take from the zmiras of haaretz, of the world, of the Goyim, v'hayridu, and bring them down where? To this world, and bring them as a gift, le'ish, Hashem, who's Hashem ish, Muhammad, bring them as a mincha, as an offering, as a gift, Takadosh Baruch Hu, as a gift to Hashem is Baruch. Because Jews can be helped in the deepest way through Nagunim of Kedusha, and especially these Nagunim. Because these are the highest Nagunim, that's why the world of Tumah took them. And we yoinik from these Nagunim, and now we're able through the Tzaddikim to have them back. And you know that the Balatanya by Ni'ilah began one year to sing the French national anthem. And you also know that the biggest enemy of Napoleon was the Balatanya. That's our next trip, right? Bez Hashem. Shimon Bizaych to go there to the Balatanya. He was the biggest enemy of Napoleon. And by Ne'ilah, when they were finishing Ne'ilah, the Alter Rebbe sang the Nigun by Ne'ilah to the tune of Napoleon's March, which would become the French national anthem. A short time after the Balatanya brought that down, then they switched it from being the national anthem. And the Balatanya said that once we took it out of Tumah and we brought it into Kedusha, the Nigun, that Nigun of the March of Napoleon, already had an Aliyah into the world of Kedusha, and there was nothing left of it for the Sitra Achra. And in Mele, the French dropped it as the national anthem, because they no longer felt that connection to it like they did before, because now it was already part of the world of Kedusha. So we don't understand this, we don't have a shaychus again to how the tzaddikim are oisik in these things. This avoida of halos nigunim, of lifting up nigunim, we see in a story that I've mentioned over the years. There was a chassid of the Tefer Shleimus, who was going to the Adamske. There was chassid that was visiting the Kotzke, who was going to the, and the Kotzker asked this Radomsker Chosik, did you say over something that you heard from your Rebbe? And he said the following. He said, by Aaron HaKoyen, when he had the terrible tzara that his two sons, Nadav and Avihu, they were killed by the Mishkan. So it says in Pasuk, Vayidim Aaron means that Aaron was silent. In other words, he accepted the din of Shemaim in such a way of silence. Vayidem Aaron. But the Radomsker said that David HaMelech reached even a higher madrega. It's weiter gegangen. David HaMelech went to a higher place. Because it says by David HaMelech, who also had many tsaras, and also saw more than one child die, L'man Yizemech HaKavod, what does it say? V'lo Yidem. So David HaMelech was in a higher madrega. By Aaron it says he was silent. By David HaMelech, our menagim, David HaMelech is the Hechel and the Gina itself, our singer in the Imz Mirs as well as David HaMelech. By David HaMelech it's not just that he was silent in his suffering, which is itself an amazing madrega, the silent, to be silent in one's suffering. But David HaMelech knew how to change the suffering into a nigin, and that's L'man Yizemech HaKavod V'lo Yidoy. Not like Aaron, V'yidoy Aaron. By David HaMelech is L'man Yizemech HaKavod V'lo Yidoy, not to be silent. So this is the inyan that the caliber was Isaac, and besides his teaching, the avoid of halos nigunim of kedusha, to bring them out from the world of tumah. What's remarkable is that this is the way that Chassidus began in Hungary, where we are now. Chassidus began in Hungary with a nigun. It began with a nigun. It's interesting because when you listen to Hungarian, the language itself, it always struck me from the time that I was in this world, because that was the language that I heard from the time that I was in the world, that Hungarian has a certain kind of a niggun. My children have noticed, although I don't agree and I don't necessarily think this is true, but they know right away when I'm speaking to my father or mother on the phone, because they say that when I'm talking to Zaidi or to Safti, that I automatically switch into a little bit of a niggun, that I have a different tune when I speak to my parents. Is there something that's left over from that tune that I grew up with? Is that part of the tune? Is that a little piece of that tune somehow in the language of the Hungarians themselves? I don't know. But what I do know and what we were taught is that Chassidus began in Hungary with Rabbi Zal Chalver redeeming these Nagunim from the world of Tumah. And from there it spread. We're going to be today, Bez Hashem, if everything goes well. So I don't know, we have to see if we can ask, maybe if it's possible to ask Yeshua to hold the sun in the sky. I don't know how we're going to accomplish all of this today, but Beza Hashem, to be able to be by the Yismach Moshe, to go to Eel, to Ul, by the Yismach Moshe, Schus Yelena, and to go to Rav Herschel Eliske, and to go to Rav Shaila Kerestir. We're talking about the fire of the Baal Shem Tov that began to spread through Hungary. And that fire would carry itself, somehow it survived the war. They tried to extinguish that fire as we just smelt a little bit of that fire when we were in Budapest. And it continued on, and it continues on to this day, to try to understand who are these tzaddikim. Rav Herschel Eliske, we really have heard very little about. The Ach Bitur, we'll talk about Mitzvah by Rav Herschel. The Yismach Moshe a little bit more, because of Satmar, Siget, and Rav Shaila, that all of a sudden has just like exploded like an atom bomb in the world. That until recently, only the Jews that were from that place heard of Rav Shaila. But lately, the past few years, everybody's trying to connect Rav Shaila. We need to understand, what is the nature of Hungarian Hasidus? What's unique about Hungarian, the Hungarian branch of Hasidus, that Rav Shaila picked up on? And so did my mother. She should live long and healthy years. And anybody who knows a Hungarian mother, Hungarian grandmother, picked up on a certain niggun, a certain song, a certain niggun. That niggun began with Rav Isaacle. We're going to see something very interesting by his Matseva. I wasn't there. Ellie, you were Rav Isaacle Caliver. You saw the Matseva. Is it legible or is it not legible?
I think it just says something.
Yeah. So it says by Basil Khalifa's Metsefer, I was never there, but I read in the Sefer, and it says his name, and then it says that he was an Erlich Yid that knew how to learn a Blat Gemara. That's what it said. Now why does it say that? We'll talk about maybe when we get there, Mr. Shem, when we read it ourselves. That he was an Erlich Yid that learned a Blat Gemara. They knew how to learn a Blat Gemara. So Mr. Shem will be there shortly, and we'll continue a little bit. We'll be in Kalev in a little while, and we'll continue a little bit with maybe a story or two, a niggun, and a few kapitel tale, Shkaya.
Being taped, maybe. I don't know what to do with this.
It's on?
Thank you, Tobias.
It's everything.
They were listening. What did I mean, Tobias? They were listening.
I would have called you in, but I couldn't.